But for now, turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12 as we continue looking at these spiritual gifts as listed in Scripture. They do not. They do not. But if you've got that kind of skill and talent, I would encourage you to homemake it, yes. All right. Romans chapter 12. And let me just read to you once again verses 4 through 8. It's one of the places in Scripture where we find varying gifts listed. And we're not going to be looking at every single one of these in this passage. In fact, we've looked at a number of them already, but it is a passage, and we'll touch on a few of these. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And with that, we're going to continue we began that third category of gifts, and that is gifts of stimulation. And these are spiritual gifts given to some believers for really the encouragement or even motivation of other believers. And the two that we looked at last week, and I'll just briefly review these, and then we'll get into the rest of this list. But the first one was discernment. And discernment, of course, is the supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong. The supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong. And as with all of these spiritual gifts, every single one of these spiritual activities are things that all of us should be exercising. But there's no question that the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit, has given some individuals the supernatural ability in these areas, discernment being one of them, the ability to distinguish right from wrong, in some cases even to distinguish people with bad motives from people with good motives, okay? Anyway, that's one of the gifts of stimulation. Another one is the gift of exhortation. And of course, exhortation we saw last week is the supernatural ability to encourage people to live holy lives. The supernatural ability to encourage people to live holy lives. Again, it's something we're all called to do. But there are those that have that added measure, that ability to do those things. Now, with each one of these, I've been asking you if you feel like maybe you've got this gift or that gift and so on. But just quickly, out of the gifts that we've looked at so far over the past, well, mostly last week, how many of you appear to have recognized the gift that you have? You raised your hand at least at some point last week. All right, looks like most of you. Well, Lord willing, we'll kind of finish up the rest of you with what we've got here, because again, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, not only has the Holy Spirit indwelled you, but you've got the power of God in you, and you have a gift, at least one, in which God can use you. Well, the next gift I want to look at is the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And the gift of faith is the supernatural ability to trust in the sovereignty of God. really simply put, but it's the supernatural ability to trust in the sovereignty of God. Once again, that's something we're all called to do. But there are those that the Holy Spirit has gifted in this area, okay, and they're able, supernaturally able, to trust in God a little bit better than perhaps the rest of us. Again, we all exercise, in fact, we exercised faith when we obtained salvation. But the spiritual gift of faith is that supernatural ability to trust in God's sovereignty, and really, regardless of these circumstances. The person who has been spiritually gifted with faith, they can rest, it seems, in God in all things. These people are oftentimes some of the most joyous, peaceable, content, confident, and even prayerful believers that there are. People with the gift of faith are very prayerful because they trust God, so they're going to naturally bring everything to Him. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 3:7, Paul there says, "Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." And again, it's something we're all encouraged and really commanded to exercise. But if you're one of those people that are rarely worried, okay, and I don't think anybody's immune to worry, but if you're one of those people that are rarely worried, rarely anxious, rarely discontent, rarely doubtful, you may have the gift of faith. If others often ask you to pray for them, that might be them seeing that gift in you. Every time I list this gift, there's one or two people in my life that immediately come to mind. All right, but they are prayer warriors, and they just know that God is going to work this out. He's going to work this out. And the stimulation really here is obvious, I think. Faith is contagious. Faith is contagious. As other believers see that person gifted with faith, as they see their peace and their confidence in God, it gives them faith and peace and confidence. It nurtures that quality in them. So again, faith is the supernatural ability to trust in the sovereignty of God. And again, that doesn't mean that you never worry. It doesn't mean that you're never anxious. It doesn't mean that you're always at complete peace and confident and content. But it's kind of a rare thing for you to be in those places. Anyone here think you might have the gift of faith? All right, a couple of you. That's kind of been the case with each one of these. A couple of you have raised your hand. That's great. All right, that's the gift of faith. The next one is the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. What is knowledge? Just to know, right? What's that? To know stuff. All right. Knowledge, the gift of knowledge, is really the supernatural ability, I think, to gain and retain spiritual truths. Because again, a spiritual gift, just by definition, is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Well, knowledge is the supernatural ability I think, to gain and retain spiritual truths. Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And of course, that's a prayer for every single one of us. But there are some believers out there that God, again, I think is supernaturally enabled to gain information and retain that information, and even able to divulge it in great detail, vast amounts of information, particularly concerning God's Word, okay? Things concerning ministry. And a person like this is often rather scholarly. I think many theologians would fall into the category of having the spiritual gift of knowledge. The pastor up at Southland Bible Church in Washington, Nathan Riker. Who knows Nathan? Would you agree that he probably has the spiritual gift of knowledge? Yeah, it's incredible what he can retain. In fact, he, when we go up to camp in the summers, he'll often play a game with the counselors and the campers. And what the game is he will have them secretly. They'll take a Bible someplace, and they'll open it up, and without him knowing where they are, they'll find a line, and then they will read it to him, and he will tell them what book and chapter it is.
Wow.
Just by reading a line. Oh, I'm so envious. So envious. It falls out of my head almost as fast as it comes in. So I'm very envious of people like that. But not everybody, obviously, even with that gifting. In fact, our passage in Romans says, to the degree that you have it, okay? So there are people that have this gift that aren't exactly like Nathan, okay? But if you are like a Bible answer man or woman, you might have the gift of knowledge. And here again, the stimulation, I think, is obvious. Other believers often go to you for answers. They want Bible answers, and they know, well, that's the guy to go to, all right? You become a resource of information and a stimulation, really, in understanding God and His Word. Anyone here think they might have the gift of knowledge? Okay, I if you didn't raise your hand, Elmo, I probably would have pointed to you anyway. Because, yeah, I think I see that in you.
Certainly a gift, not anything that I
deserve. Right. And I made that, I'm glad you brought that up, and I brought this up last week too, but raising your hand isn't about being boastful because it's not about you, okay? This is the Holy Spirit working through you. So anyway, yeah, I agree. I think, Elmo, I think you have that gift of knowledge. Anyone else? I didn't see any. Okay, all right. The rest of you are more like me then. All right. The next one is the gift of wisdom. Now, we actually talked about this in Sunday school 2 Sundays ago, but how is wisdom different from knowledge? Richard.
Knowledge is knowing a lot of things. Wisdom is knowing how to use it.
Okay, very good. Everybody hear that? Knowledge is knowing a lot of things. Wisdom is actually taking that knowledge and applying it or using it correctly. So wisdom is the supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. Wisdom is the supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. So here's a question. Is it possible to have knowledge and not wisdom.
Yes.
Jeff? Yes. Yeah, okay, all right. In fact, it's possible that that was some of us before salvation. We had a head knowledge of what it takes to be saved, but didn't have had the wisdom yet to apply it to our own life, that it actually, it's for me. I've shared with a few of you before, my mother is not a believer, but she has heard the gospel enough that I think if pressed, she could probably share the gospel pretty accurate. Okay? She's heard it enough that I think she could share it pretty accurately, yet she hasn't applied it to her own heart. In fact, in Ephesians, we are told that, Ephesians chapter 1, we are told that God has, well, let me read it. In fact, we're going to go to Ephesians in just a minute anyway. But Ephesians chapter 1, it says, in him we have redemption. No, that's not what I wanted. I do want redemption. But I don't read more into that than what I meant, okay? That is actually what I want. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And not only is it the wisdom and prudence of God, okay, that enacted this redemption for us, but I think it can also be applied to us. It's through wisdom of what God has done for us that then we receive the redemption, all right? And I don't want to read more into that passage and what's there, but wisdom plays a part here. Somebody has to not only know what the gospel is, but they have to know, be wise enough to apply it to their own life. Well, a person with the gift of wisdom has that supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. A person with this gift of wisdom will have, again, a God-given ability to take information, biblical information, and process it and see exactly how it works or should work in a person's life. If believers gravitate to you for life advice or the application of biblical truths, you might have the gift of wisdom. And while here's another question. One with the gift of wisdom, how do I want to ask this? Is the gift of knowledge required for the gift of wisdom? Okay, all right, you're right. It isn't required. It isn't required. In fact, somebody can have the gift of wisdom and know almost nothing. No, when think about this, that even that person with the gift of wisdom, when he first came to Christ or she first came to Christ, he didn't know everything, but he knew enough to rightly apply what he knew. Okay, and that's a gift of wisdom. That's the gift of wisdom. Of course, everybody, again, is supposed to exercise that, but those with that supernatural ability can do it in every case. And it doesn't matter how much they know, they do rightly apply what they do know.
Could Rick. Somebody with wisdom apply somebody else's knowledge?
Yeah, it's basically taking the knowledge and rightly applying it. So that person with the gift of wisdom, as soon as he learns something new, could probably take that and say, oh, I see how that works. I see how that works in my life. Where somebody without the gift of wisdom might take them a little bit longer. And again, with this being a gift of stimulation, The whole point of people with this gift is to stimulate wisdom, applying knowledge, applying scripture in other people's lives. Anyone here think they might have the gift of wisdom? It's okay. Yes, I think that's a wise request, but it may not mean you have the gifts, all right? But anyway, okay, very good. Wisdom, again, is supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. And that ends that category of the gifts of stimulation. And we've got one more category, and that is the gifts of cooperation. Richard. Wisdom, chapter 1.
Yeah, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7. And it says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, in which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So everybody has a little.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Gifts of cooperation. These are spiritual gifts given to some believers for the endowment of others. Endowment really simply is the provision of what someone else needs. All right? And these spiritual gifts, they're given to some believers for the endowment or filling the needs of others. And as usual, all believers are commanded to exercise all of these that we look at, but God has gifted some supernaturally well here. Here's the first one, giving. Giving. Giving is the supernatural ability to give to God's work and God's people. Giving is the supernatural ability to give to God's work and God's people. You don't have to turn here, but 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, so let each one of us, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, this is something we're all supposed to exercise. In fact, we're all supposed to exercise it the way God wants us to exercise it, purposing from our heart, not begrudgingly, okay, but cheerfully. But God has gifted some and given them the supernatural ability to give of themselves. And this often includes finances. But the emphasis really is on sharing what we have. Using what we have to meet the needs of others. This gift does not require wealth. In fact, some of the people that I have observed with this gift of giving had average or below average incomes. They don't do it because they're forced. They do it completely freely. They want to do it, and they do it very, very well. They meet the needs of others very, very well. They abundantly bless others out of whatever God has given them. But some of them are wealthy. I think sometimes God allows wealth for a believer because they have the gift of giving. They are oftentimes the silent partners in huge ministries. In this world, resources are necessary for varying ministries. A Franklin Graham doesn't obtain a stadium and fill it for free. And those with the gift of giving are often the provision of that. If giving gifts, if giving of your time, if giving of your talents, if giving of your things, if that is something that brings you great joy, you may have the gift of giving. Again, giving is the supernatural ability to give to God's work and God's people. Anyone here think? Yeah. I will tell you, it does not surprise me to see a few more hands on that one, because I am often overwhelmed with what God is doing here at River Valley Bible Church through people that are giving. I've never seen anything like it. Debbie?
Is hospitality part of this?
I think hospitality would fit right in there, yeah, because you're using what you have for the good of others. Absolutely, hospitality would fit into that. Yeah. If you like hosting people in your home, yeah. Very good. All right. The next one is helps. Helps. And there's a little bit of variation in how these are worded, but I'm just going to go with the words that I've got so I can separate them out here. But helps is the supernatural ability to aid those in need. And again, it's a bit different than giving, but again, the supernatural ability to aid those in need. And it could be really in any area of ministry. You're that person that often comes alongside, perhaps not so much with kind words like someone with the gift of exhorting, but comes alongside with a little bit of manpower, okay? The gift of helps, and again, that can be any area of ministry. It often reveals itself in the aiding of the poor and needy in any way they can. James chapter 2 talks about this a little bit, not specifically that gift, but what we're supposed to do in helping one another. It says in James 2, 15 and 16, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Well, we're all supposed to give and help in that regard, but those with this in this area of gifting really feel a burden in that area, and that gift reveals itself often because it seems like we're always helping somebody, all right? This, again, could be in anything from working in an orphanage, helping at a nursing home, assisting someone with their household or yard needs, helping somebody with a flat tire. All right, these gifted in this area, they just want to be a help, and they find joy in doing it. They're strongly burdened to do whatever they can to aid that person in need. Anyone here think they might have the gift of helps? Okay, I see a couple. In fact, there was a hand I was looking for, and it came up, so... All right, because I know they have that. I know they have that. All right. Helps is the supernatural ability to aid those in need. The next one is mercy. Mercy is the supernatural ability to show compassion. And I might even throw in there, because of what the word mercy means, okay? I think it's the supernatural ability to show compassion to the guilty. Because that's what mercy is. Mercy, should I have not thrown that in there? All of a sudden, they're guilty. Forget it. And that's, by the way, that's how I know I don't have the gift of mercy. Give them what they deserve. Well, mercy is the withholding of punishment that they do deserve. So it's the supernatural ability to show compassion. And then my add is even to the guilty, okay? 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. It's something we are all called to do, but there are just some. And I really admire people that have this gift because they have that supernatural ability that regardless of how badly a person messed up and put themselves in that position, they can yet have compassion for them. Those gifted in this area are able to feel the pain of another, relate to them, show them compassion on that very basis, even when, and especially when, the person just doesn't deserve it. That's mercy. That's mercy. The supernatural ability to show compassion. If you are one that finds, and this is something I thought about kind of long and hard, and I kind of boiled it down to this. If you are one that finds it relatively easy to forgive others, you might have the spiritual gift of mercy. All right. Hebrews 10:34, it says, for you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And the author of Hebrews here is pointing out the aspect, the activity of mercy and even giving of ourselves to the point of us losing something. All right. Anyone here think they might have the gift of mercy? All right. There was a couple hands over there I was expecting to. All right. This is actually kind of fun for me, because there are some that I suspect have gifts, and it's neat to see when I'm right. But there are others that, as we've been going through this, that you've raised your hand. I'm like, that's good to know. I didn't know that about you, so I'm learning something here. Again, mercy is the supernatural ability to show compassion. And then there is the gift of service. The gift of service. We might also call that ministry. That's actually what ministry means. But service is the supernatural ability to do whatever needs to be done. And again, I think it's very similar to helps, okay? But I think it's a little more along the activity line that you've got a job to do. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever it is. Yeah, cleaning toilets. I love that. I'll do it. All right. Yeah, Ray.
I have a question. Is it possible to be real strong in at least three of them categories?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there's probably one of your gifts that probably rises to the top more than others, but certainly, yeah, you can be. In fact, you'll be supernaturally strong in all of them because it's God's power being exercised. So, yeah, yep. All right. 1 Timothy 6:2, and those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. And again, that's just a general passage concerning how we should serve. Okay, all of us should serve, even people that we may not want to work for, that we may not want to, service. service. There are some that are supernaturally enabled to do that. That word minister, and I think I wrote that. No, I didn't. All right, let me read you another passage. Hebrews 6:10, it says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Again, my point being, all of us should be doing it. But that word minister speaks of serving or even waiting upon someone else. And that person with the gift of service finds joy in just doing whatever needs to be done. They are oftentimes the ones behind the scenes making and doing things that no one else seems to want to do. They are often the first to arrive on a project and the last to leave. And God has especially enabled them to just get things done. And that doesn't mean speedily, but it means correctly and joyfully. They're workers and they love to work. I've joked about this since we became believers, Janine and I, but I have found that it's really easy to determine if your spouse has the gift of service because they will volunteer you for stuff. Right, Janine? That is definitely one of Janine's areas of gifting. She just does whatever needs to be done, and she loves it. She loves the behind the scenes aspect of everything. But again, service is the supernatural ability to do whatever needs to be done.
Part of that would also be seeing the things that need to be done.
Oh, very good. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I've observed for people that just have a gift of noticing what needs to be done.
Very good point.
When it goes over my head, I'd probably be willing if they asked me.
Yeah, yeah.
That
is just another confirmation that I don't have that gift, because I don't take notice, and I need Janine to point it out to me. Yeah, they do. You're right. They take notice of those things that need to be done. Anyone here have that gift? All right. Okay. Very good. And that's our list. That's our list. Now, having gone through this list, and I emphasized this when we began these spiritual gift classes here, but having gone through the list, you and I need to know that we have a responsibility to do all of these things at certain times. All believers at times must teach, proclaim the word of God, administrate, evangelize, discern, exhort, have faith, help, serve, learn. We're all called to do all of these things, but each believer has also specifically been given one or more of these supernatural abilities. These are all abilities that are empowered by God Himself. And they're empowered by God Himself to fulfill a function in the church body. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift, and therefore every believer has the duty and responsibility to not only discover that gift, but exercise it. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Our last passage here tonight is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 15 and 16. And I'll just say that 1 Corinthians 13 emphasizes the aspect of doing what God has empowered us to do in love, but it's brought up here too. It says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." And then verse 16 says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." And here's what it does. It causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every single one of us have a part here. I would imagine that as we went through this list, perhaps there were one, two, or three that you may have seemed like, you know, this one I think may fit me. And it's not about choosing one and saying, that's the one I want, okay, because it's not up to us. It's the Spirit that decides which one we get. But it is up to us to discover which one or ones we have. And one of the best ways, now I've given you a couple things with each of these gifts that are common among people that have that particular gift. But one of the best ways, I think, to discover your gift is to attempt to exercise them all. Because we're all supposed to be doing them anyway, all of them. So the best way, I think, is to attempt to exercise them all. We're supposed to be doing them anyway, but as we do, I think as we do, our gift or gifts will begin to emerge. And some of the things to look for is it bringing you joy? Are you finding joy in doing that particular thing? Could that, I think that is one of the indicators that we may have that gift, because and we will do them well, and it will also benefit the people we are exercising them toward. As a fairly new believer, I was probably a believer 5 years, and I've shared this story before, but it's the truth of the matter. About 5 years being a believer, my pastor asked me to teach a 10-minute lesson at a men's retreat, and I told him no. So the following year, he asked me again, and I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I loved it. I loved doing it, and what was even more surprising to me is that a number of men came up to me after that 10-minute lesson, and they said they liked it too. Okay? And that's... the rest is history, honestly. The rest is history. So if none of these that we've gone through, if you're here tonight and none of these struck you like a light bulb moment, okay, or if several of them struck you, find opportunities to try them, to take an opportunity, ask for an opportunity, ask me for an opportunity. All right, I'll find one for you. But look for opportunities to try them and see how the Lord might use you in that. And you too might be surprised, very surprised maybe even, with the results. While it is the Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts, it is Jesus Christ who distributes gifted people people to local churches. So, you are here for a reason. You are here for a reason. You are here to exercise your gift. You and I have not only been gifted by the Holy Spirit, but we have been placed right here at River Valley Bible Church by Jesus himself to fulfill a function right here. And so I am asking, if you don't already know that function, seek to discover it and seek to exercise it, because we need you. We need you. All right. There you go. That's all I've got for you tonight. Any questions or thoughts, Richard? Okay.
You can be all these other things and not be humble at all.
Okay. Yeah, and I as humility as a spiritual gift, I don't know. I would put it more along the lines side by side with love, in that we should exercise whatever gift that we have in love and humility. I think it's a trait or a quality of every one of those gifts. Good point.
The other one is grace.
Yeah.
Because I've always looked at grace and mercy.
Yeah, I've grace, the way I understand it from Scripture, is being rewarded with something we don't deserve. Mercy is having a punishment removed that we do deserve. Okay? So anyway, yeah, grace is certainly something we need to have.
The thing that I remember is a couple of people that have been reviewed in the last 10 years. This person has killed their relative, son, and daughter, and they've taken them out when they were eligible to come out of prison into their own home and set them on their feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think both mercy and grace might be involved there for sure. Yep. Very good. Other thoughts? Okay. Well, next week is our last one. And like I said, we'll have a 20-minute lesson tomorrow, and then we'll just eat pie. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for just your empowering of us. And I want to personally thank you right now, in that I came here tonight very, unenergetic. Not even wanting to teach a lesson tonight. And I'm just being open and honest here. But Lord, you've empowered me. You've used me tonight, right in my own life. And I pray, Lord God, that you would take each person here and use them in a like manner. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.